This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new recipe that you may have or a new place that may be opening up. Or if you or if you just want to chat with us, again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building. We are at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You can come on down and have lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And we also have a great Facebook page. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol and like our Facebook page. We have all kinds of pictures and upcoming shows and past shows and all that kind of stuff. And we have a packed show as usual today.
We do. We have a great show to look forward to. We'll be talking to Patrick Hall. He's the chef for the Culinary Arts Program at Lakes Region Community College. And also heads up many of the meals served at Shaker Village.
Yes, Thursday dinners, I believe. But we'll talk to Patrick more about it.
I think there are even more seatings and more opportunities that you can do. But yeah, it's the Thursday dinners that caught my attention. But yes, as you said, we will explore that a little bit more.
Exactly.
And then a little later, we are going to hear from Donna, who does Donna's Delights from Delaware, which is always harder to say than you think it's going to be. I cannot wait for that piece because we hear from her each week and she is so full of energy and has such funny comments to make that
should be interesting.
We're definitely looking forward to that.
Yes.
And then
J-Dog.
J-Dog is calling in, yes, from sunny Florida with a very interesting description of some food that he has tried.
Yes, last night. You got the pictures, right?
I got the picture. It took me a while to figure out what that was, and then I just died laughing.
Oh, maybe I don't think it was.
I think I know what it was, and you know what? We should, you'll learn more.
Okay.
120. At 120, find out what J-Dog ate.
Unbelievable. That was wait till you hear it.
I'm interesting.
I am surprised
that he would be that adventurous.
I am too, actually.
Like, this is not something that you find as usual fare.
Correct. So. Like down there, they had a restaurant named that.
Yes.
I mean, I was shocked. But
yes.
Anyway,
but we won't spill the beans quite yet. Stay tuned to find out. And we also want to give a shout out to our wonderful sponsors who make Food for Thought possible. Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord, featuring elegant and affordable jewelry as well as precision repair. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions at integrityfit.com, your coaching solutions company. Red Arrow Diner in Manchester, Milford, and Londonderry. Belmont Hall at 718 Grove Street in Manchester for top quality foods made fresh. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. And Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars.
Mm, and you know, speaking of Celeste Oliva,
yes,
June and Michelle are there. They were there at like 10:45 or so. They could still be there.
I bet that they are. And I bet that Sharla and the two of them are just having a great time laughing together.
Yep. And June, I know, called me when she was there because I told her, call when you're there and because she offered to pick me up some stuff. But, I was busy and I'd rather go up and shop myself.
Yes.
Plus, I want to show Daryl the store. So
maybe
we're going to do that this weekend. So
there's so much to sample there.
There is. Oh, my goodness. Today is food day today. It's National Clam Chowder Day.
Oh, okay. Wow. That I could embrace, and that makes sense in February.
Yeah, I guess so. It's also National Chocolate Covered Peanuts Day. I should have went next door to the candy store to get some. Darn.
Yeah. Yes, because what we need more in this studio is more chocolate.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
We don't touch that, though. We're pretty good.
No, but there's a door away. We've still got a coffee table full of
We let the guests eat those.
Yeah, but they're not making a dent. Eat, guests, eat.
Yeah, I know, really.
So come on down, join us for lunch and the show, and we'll give you a chocolate and a spatula.
Yeah, I know, aren't these spatulas
beautiful? The spatulas
beautiful?
Are awesome. We have Food for Thought with Carol spatulas, which are they're not the flipping spatulas. They're even more useful, and it makes more sense. It is like the batter scraping spatula.
It's like a batter spatula.
Yeah,
they're very cute, and guess what color they are? If anybody knows me, you'll know what color they are. They are pink.
They are not just pink. They are Carol pink.
They are Carol pink.
And honestly, that is what I said the first time. Nah, it doesn't quite go there. But that is what I said the first time I saw them. That's Carol pink, and they're beautiful.
I love them. So, they're very cute. So, for those of you that are here in the Beacon Building and you want to come down and ask for a spatula, you can do that.
Yes.
Just come right on down and come right into the green room and come have some chocolate and a spatula.
There you go.
Can't go wrong.
Nope.
There we go.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to, I didn't read the whole thing yet. Okay. Today's food quote.
Uh-oh.
It's clam chowder is one of those subjects, like politics or religion, that can never be discussed lightly. Bring it up even incidentally, and all the innumerable factions of the clam bake regions raise their heads and begin to yammer.
Yeah. You know, it's true, because then people will start talking about what's Manhattan clam chowder and all the different bases you can have to it and what's the best way, and you definitely have to have this and you can't have this, and They're very opinionated about clam chowder.
It's funny because when I was at Londonderry, was that last night? Gosh, it was last night. Seems like
so they all just fly together.
We've only been open 2 days. So yeah, today's the third. It was last night. We went in for dinner and, check on things and all that. And one of my good friends, Wayne, was there with his wife, Tony. And he kept asking me, he goes to the Manchester location quite a bit, and he loved this location and all that. It's beautiful. Yeah. And he was asking about clam chowder. He's like, "You haven't had clam chowder on the menu." I'm like, "Really?"
Mm.
I didn't realize that. So I got to check into that.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. It's probably going to kind of put you on the spot.
Well, that's
so
okay.
Get prepared to dodge.
Uh-oh.
When you go to the Red Arrow Diner, what is, and I won't even ask you particularly what you had last night, but what's your go-to thing? What do you usually grab?
It depends on if I'm watching what I'm eating or not.
Right.
And I've been I've been watching what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes. So last night I had, I kind of wasn't watching what I was.
So you're waffling already. I'm like, oh, okay. I even warned you. I set it up with a warning.
I'm going to
put you on the spot,
but I can't
get ready.
Lie, so, I can.
That's kind
I
of a good quality.
I can't.
Okay.
So I started with, we have really good soups because we make homemade soups all the time. And yesterday's was my probably I forgot.
I was really just praying for one day without soup discussion.
Well,
but
go ahead. If you wouldn't have looked at me like that, I wouldn't have caught it.
Okay.
I wouldn't have.
All right.
But I'm gonna ignore it. So I had cream and tomato soup, which was really, really good. So I had a cup of cream, and I usually only have like half the cup. So a half a cup of cream and tomato soup, and then I ordered meatloaf.
Oh.
We have homemade meatloaf.
Yep.
And I had meatloaf. It was delicious.
And that's funny because I made a meatloaf this week, and that's one of my, it's the meal that my whole family loves. I find it very good. It's something I have never ordered out, because when I'm out, I always feel like, meatloaf? Why would you go out
it's
and
true.
Have meatloaf?
It's true.
But tell me, so your meatloaf must be really good at the diner.
It is very good.
Everything is the theme really is just home-cooked, fresh-tasting food.
Yep.
So the meatloaf must be something pretty special.
It's actually my recipe.
Okay.
From years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest thing, I don't like peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Like green peppers, you mean? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Green peppers.
Okay.
I cooked green peppers. I just don't like green peppers.
Huh.
So if I get a meatloaf somewhere else, like a meatloaf sandwich maybe or something, I always ask if there's peppers in it. If there's peppers
in
it, forget it. So
okay.
Our meatloaf at the diner does not have peppers.
Okay.
But it is very good. It's a good meatloaf. It's it's nice, and it's not dry. It's moist, and
that's the key right there.
Yeah, it is.
Your meatloaf needs to be able to stand alone and be moist enough.
Exactly.
Now, if you want to put stuff on it, that's fine, but it shouldn't be a necessity.
I had to drown it in gravy or ketchup. Yeah, I had a little ramekin of gravy that I just dipped in. Like, I never put gravy on top of it because you're right. It's too much. It's too much. And Andrew just shared with us that he had a meatloaf sandwich for lunch today.
Oh, very nice. So it's meatloaf week.
It must be meatloaf week. You had it. I had it. Yeah. Andrew's having it.
You know, I've never actually had a meatloaf sandwich, though. I really couldn't get past the putting meatloaf in bread. And I mean, do you put mayonnaise on it? What do you put?
No.
What do you moisten the bread
mayonnaise.
With?
You know what we have at Jay's Tavern? That's the tavern below the Red Arrow in Milford. We have an awesome, and Daryl eats this all the time, a meatloaf melt.
Oh, okay.
You know, like
so that would
a piece of wheat bread, panini bread, and it gets panini.
Yes.
Oh, that's really good.
Oh, that does
but
sound good.
I usually put mustard in mine.
Okay.
Like,
well, that's much healthier.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not a big mayo person, really.
No.
I'm not a very big mayo person.
I wasn't.
But remember yesterday when Tracy was here and she was talking about that sriracha salt?
Yeah.
That intrigued me.
Yeah.
And then remember she sent us a picture of her jar
yes,
of the sea salt.
The salt.
Like, I really have to go check out that store. Well, I forgot where I was, but I had my phone, and I must have been somewhere where I was waiting. I don't remember what I did yesterday afternoon. But anyway, I Googled sriracha salt.
Yeah.
They sell sriracha salt. And then there's all kinds of recipes that you can make your own sriracha salt.
You are so excited about that.
Would you make the salt,
knowing that it's readily available, would you be tempted to make sriracha salt?
I'm going to make it.
You are?
I am going to make it. Very. I mean, it's so easy. It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
You take a bowl and you put half a cup. I'm trying to remember correctly. Half a cup of sea salt.
Okay.
And then 4 teaspoons. You know, some of the recipes varied a little bit, but between 4 and 5 teaspoons of sriracha in it.
Mm.
You stir it all up, and you know, of course, it's going to be a little wet.
Yeah.
You take a cookie sheet.
Yeah.
You lay parchment paper on it,
yeah.
and you spread that all out on it,
yeah.
and you let it sit out for 2 or 3 days to dry, and then you put it in an airtight container, and there's your sriracha salt.
So you've got this cookie tray sitting out
on your counter somewhere. I didn't do it yet.
Okay. But if you follow this recipe, then you
yes.
have this cookie tray that just is going to sit out for a couple days.
Well, I know. I don't like that
okay.
idea either.
Okay.
And there was a solution to that. They said how to make your sriracha salt quicker.
Yes.
So you can bake it in the oven. You put it in the oven, and then you just have it, sit out for 3 hours or something like that, and then put it in an airtight container. Because I guess if you put it in the airtight container before it's not dry, it'll stick
just
together.
Clump together, probably.
And beautiful.
Nice.
So I'm going to make that and bring it in.
Okay. Yeah. I want to try it when you.
Huh. Yum.
Very cool.
Anyway. Well. We've been yapping enough.
I know. And I still had more. You know, at some point, when you were talking about dipping some of your meatloaf in the ramekin, it just made me think of one of my favorite meals is a French dip.
Oh, I love French dip, too. Delicious.
So stinky.
You know who has a really good one is Bedford Village Inn.
Ooh.
Like, if you go for lunch, we've been on a Saturday, and French dip. It's on like homemade
the bread. Has to be right, yes.
Don't
and it has to be
there.
Nice and crusty.
Yum.
And the au jus has to be just right,
yes.
too. And like tons of nice, rare
Ooh, I'm
roast
hungry.
Beef coming out. I know. Let's do lunch now.
All right. Okay, I think we need to go on a break.
I think so,
We're going to go on a break, and then we are going to be in studio here with Patrick Hall. He is the chef for the Culinary Arts Program at Lakes Regional Community College, and we're going to talk all about what he has to say. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
For Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Back to Food for Thought, and we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. If you haven't had lunch yet, you can come on down, come and eat at Midtown Cafe. She has a great cream of broccoli soup today, which is very good. And come have a sandwich, and you can come and watch the show live. And I want to welcome our first guest today. It's Patrick Hall. He's a chef for the Culinary Arts Program at Lakes Regional Community College.
Yeah,
welcome.
Absolutely. Thank
welcome.
You very much. Thanks for having
me. We're very glad that you're here with us.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the program that you're involved with.
Yeah, our program is we're part of Lakes Region Community College up in Laconia, and it's a great program. We offer restaurant management, we offer culinary arts, and we also offer baking and pastry arts. So we're one of the fastest growing programs in the community college system. We started years ago, and we had roughly about 15 students, which is restaurant management, and then we've grown since then. To right about now, we have about 110 students.
That's
what we're looking
amazing.
At. Yeah,
that
it's
is
been
great.
It's been great. It's been great growth. And, you know, we've got some great students. We work with all the local high schools, you know, the CTE programs, all the culinary teachers there. And it's been very good. Yeah, very, 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 very rewarding for myself. And also, you know, just to work with some of the great, you know, young people getting in this industry. So
it is. That is really exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Now, do you place the kids after too, or do you help them with jobs?
We do help placement, and they have we have a co-op that they have to do. So we mostly stay local, you know, with all the local in New Hampshire. But, you know, we'll place them anywhere they want. If they want me to make a phone call, I'll make a phone call. And primarily, you know, with our industry being so large and being so thriving, that they always have a job. You know, it's been great. So we help place them, and we have, you know, just anywhere we can get them to. But they generally have no problem, you know. So it's been great. We've been blessed with that. So.
And now, don't you now, because when I went up to visit was when you were a little bit smaller.
Yep.
And you actually had a restaurant that's what they how they learned.
Sure, yeah. And ironically enough, we were in Belmont, and we were at the Belmont Mill. Was a historical mill building, and then we ended up moving from there to Canterbury Shaker Village. And ironically enough, our old name was with Food for Thought, but now we're the Shaker Table. So we wanted to get away because we knew you had the name Food for Thought. So we wanted to trade. So you know that was why we moved. You know, so no, we now we're at Shaker Village, and it's beautiful. Beautiful there.
It must be.
It's fantastic. When we were moving, Funi Burdick, the director of Shaker Village, had reached out and contacted me, and she said, "You know, I got a restaurant I want to show you." So it's a 3-4 floor restaurant. There's a kitchen on the main floor. There's another open kitchen on the second floor. It's all Shaker decorated, and it's beautiful. There's 500 acres there. We've got several partnerships that are going on there that we've been doing. We're trying to do this whole farm to table, cookery with the students, and it's working out really well. There's apple trees there. There's grapevine. There's herb trees. I mean, herb gardens. There's all sorts of stuff there, and we're actually partnered with Concord Co-op. They just recently, and we're going to actually start growing our own food coming up here next month. So, yeah.
So is most of the program done out of there?
Yes, or, the whole
so
thing.
It
yeah.
is. Okay.
Yep, the whole
okay.
thing. I mean, so, if the students have their gen ed courses, their math, their English, and science, they'll take them over at the main campus or anywhere else. But all the cooking classes are done out of there.
Yeah. Everything right out of there.
Yeah.
So that 3-floor restaurant that you're talking about, what were they using it for before?
Well, they would lease it out to caterers.
Okay. For events.
Yeah. Okay. They've never really run it themselves, but they leased it out to caterers, and people would come and go, but we're here for the long haul, you know. So it's been a great partnership. They've made all our students members of the Shaker Village, so they can walk through the property at any time. And 500 acres, you know, I was looking at a student the other day, and he's like, "Oh, chef, not the other day, but a couple months ago," and he's like, "Hey, he's chef, you know, we're out of apples. What do we do?" I pointed across the street. I said, "See those apple trees?" I said, "They're right there." I said, "Here's a bucket. Go start picking." You know, so. It's a great, unique situation for us.
And then
they've also connected with all the local farmers around there. There's always cows walking around and everything else too. So it's great, you know. So we do all sorts of classes, and you know, like one of our classes in Garmage, we make our own cheese. We do our own charcuterie. We have a batch of cheddar going, a batch of gouda going. We go right down to a local farmer, to a friend of mine owns Glein's farm down the road, and we got the old unpasteurized milk, and we have cheese presses and all sorts of stuff. So.
I did a cheese making class.
Did you?
I did, like, about, do you remember when I, oh no, I don't think that we were,
I don't think.
Okay, I did a cheese making class, and yeah, it was pretty cool.
I love doing it, and it's something different. That students are like, whoa. You know, it takes a while to do, but then, you know, once they get to the point that we're actually making cheddar cheese, and we're making, you know, it's great.
Yeah,
you know, it's fun.
I think it was a farmer's cheese.
Yeah, yep, farmer's cheese. Yeah, so we do a couple different. We do buffalo mozzarella, and we've done all sorts of stuff. But we have a whole section on smoking and curing and all that sort of stuff. So it's a great opportunity, you know, for the students.
Definitely.
And we try to do as much as we can, you know. And like I said, culinary schools are very expensive nowadays, and we're part of the community college system. We have an opportunity to offer them an affordable education, and it's been great. So
now, what if, like, I myself wanted to take, like, a course.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can do that?
Absolutely. Like, we have students that are 17 years old, and I think our oldest student is about 70 years old. So it was one gentleman that's come in, and he's taken up. He's been great. He wants to learn how to cook. And he's been out there, and he's joined every class and baking class, and he loves it, you know. So he's
that
a great guy.
Cool.
So, yeah. So
have you ever been to Shaker Village?
I have, and I love it there.
It's beautiful.
I have some great memories from Shaker Village.
It was a while ago when I went, and I have to get back up
there.
Well,
you would be our guest anytime. I mean, it's we're open on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays for a lunch from 11:30 to 1. And it's, you know, we take it on a limited basis. You know, even though we're operating a restaurant, we still want to make it educational for the students. So obviously, if we wanted to turn the tables over three times, you know, we could obviously do that, but then it would defeat the purpose
exactly.
of education, you know. So,
exactly.
But it's a quaint, it's small. We serve a full course menu that changes, you know, every day, and it's full course menu for super salad, entree, dessert for a total of $9. So, oh yeah, it's quite a deal.
Great.
And that's just to get the experience for the students to wait on real customers and everything.
So you do lunch Tuesday,
yep.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
Tuesday, yeah. Thursday, Fridays, yep. 11:30 to 1. And then do you do dinners at all?
A dinner service on Thursdays right now. Last semester it was Friday, so it'll change depending on the courses that we have. But this way it's Thursdays from, I want to say, 6 to 8:30. Right now, so
okay,
yeah, so and then so our courses change. So on Tuesday, we have American regional cuisine. So we go every like last week we did a Southern menu. This week we did we did a Floridian
yum.
Menu this week, and then there's Louisiana next week. And then Thursdays our worldwide cuisine. Last week
I was
week,
reading about that.
Yeah, yeah, worldwide. It was. And that's, you know, Thursday evenings the same thing, but so they're both the same. So you'll catch on Thursday during the day, or you like last week we did we went from Japan, China, we went to Korea and Southeast Asia. We did this week we're doing Middle Eastern. We do British Isles. We really go around, you know,
wow.
the whole world. And then Friday's my Italian class, my favorite class. Fresh pastas and, oh yeah, we do all sorts of stuff. Yeah, yeah. We make our own ricotta cheese and we really get the students into it, and they love it. So it's good. We get to display it for the public and for everybody. So
that's
we show
great.
Off a little bit, you know. So
of course you do. The
have
kids,
to.
You know, they you know that they must feel so proud
yeah.
after they, you know, after they accomplish
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we get you know we get a lot of good students in there, and they're great. So it's excellent. It's a great opportunity.
Wow. So. We're gonna take a short break right now. You are listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. We're in studio with Patrick Hall. He is the chef for the Culinary Arts Program at Lakes Region Community College. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
A little slow, Andrew. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Getting in the mood.
Grooving,
yeah. All right. Welcome back, Food for Thought, live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. You can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have any questions for Chef Patrick, you can call him, and I'm sure you can ask him.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. So we're talking about the culinary program and that you do out of Shaker Village.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so interesting. I can't wait to go.
Yeah, it's really taken off, and it's such a good feel because it's just a local feel, and you get a lot of locals, and it's great. It's been excellent. So,
and you mentioned there's been a growth in students in the program, and I'm wondering, are there more kids now that are going into culinary arts?
Yeah,
do you think
I've seen a lot, and there's a lot of influences on the television is covered with multiple cooking shows,
sure.
and I think that's a big big push for our industry, but we also the fact that our industry is the second largest industry in the United States next to government, you know, the hospitality industry in general. So,
sure.
you know, people want entertainment. They're going to go out to eat. They're going to go have some, have food and drink, and, it's never going to die out because of that, you know? So, it's one of those things that's great for our business, you know, so our
yeah,
industry,
absolutely.
You know.
And as you're seeing kids work through the program and go through their education, do you find that there are some kids that, I mean, because you cover a wide variety of cooking styles
mm-hmm. yep.
and cooking influences. Is it, you know, what's it like to watch the kids maybe say, oh, I found it. This is really my thing. This is where I want to specialize, or, oh my gosh, I will never do that again.
Yeah.
Or I mean, just that whole weeding out, the sorting out process.
We find that a lot. And a lot of times I'll have my Italian cooking classes on Friday. And you'll find that when we start getting into making our fresh pastas. Mm-hmm. And the first day I start my class, and it's fresh pasta, it's fresh gnocchi. And I have everybody make a batch of pasta.
I love gnocchi. That's my favorite.
Oh, beautiful. We make ricotta and make potato gnocchi. And then I show them basic bolognese sauce, and I show them a basic marinara sauce. And what happens is we start rolling the pasta out, and such the process of it, and then they're like, oh, well, this is a lot of work, you know. So you usually get some of them that drop from there, you know, from wanting to do that right after that process. But it's funny, they choose, you know, different things. We have more advanced classes, like, you know, chocolate and pulled sugar, to advanced cake decorating, you know. So it's with the rolled fondant work. So a lot of the students love doing that work because it's what they have seen on TV. It's kind of what they've done, and they get interested in that. But it depends on the student. You know, some people are very into the more intricate stuff. Where students, so there's some students out there that are very interested in some of the basics too. So, which is good. You know, so you can't knock the basics sometimes. You know, so.
And do you find, we've talked before on the show about the difference between people? It seems like people fall into a couple of categories, and it's they either like to cook or they like to bake.
Yes.
And they're not usually the same.
No. We have, and there's an inside joke, you know, amongst chefs in the industry, and the, you know, you're either you know, a chef or you're a baker, you know, and we kind of call it the dark side, you know. So
which one is the dark side?
Yes. My wife's a pastry chef for us, and you know, when I say that, she kind of gives me the eye, you know. So you know, because in the whole basic theory is, you know, when you're cooking, you know, you're cooking, it's different than baking. Baking's a, you know, you follow a formula, so everything's measured, you know. And I always tell students, I said, what's the difference between cooking and baking? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I said, well, what if I took a handful of peas and I put it in this dish right now? And they say, oh, I don't know. And I was like, well, I guess I'll hope you like peas. You know, I said, what up if I put a handful of baking soda into a baking recipe? What's going to happen? Like, it's a reaction. It's a science. So there's, you know, it's a chemical reaction to
right.
that. So, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, it's more structured.
I mean, wouldn't you agree that, I mean, baking, it's a science. You need to be more precise.
Oh, yeah, precise, precise. And that helps, you know, with your product,
right.
You know, as far as keeping evenness and consistency.
Exactly.
And, you know, you find that just that right muffin recipe, and you have it exact. You want to keep it exact like that.
Right.
You know, so.
See, that's why I am not a baker at all. And plus, I don't like the mess.
No.
I hate the flour.
Some of the best dishes I've ever made was just opening the fridge and see what you
have.
Exactly. You know, and that's the best thing that I love about cooking, because it is that. You know, so and it's great, you know. So I mean, there's also tricks to the trade too as well, but
of course. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we are in studio with Patrick Hall. He's the chef for the culinary arts program at Lakes Region Community College. I don't know why that has it doesn't come off
of my pride. Yeah.
Lakes Region Community College. I'm saying it right.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay, phew.
Yeah.
So when you're home, what is your go-to meal? Like, do you cook at home?
Yes, and you know what? I'm not ashamed to say. We do a lot of pastas, which I love pasta, and I'm not ashamed to say that, but it's very basic, nothing that I'd want to do because I have a 7 and a 12-year-old at home, so usually end up eating what they don't want to eat, you know?
Right.
So
that's right.
You know? So it's
But now, do you make your own homemade? I'm sorry, Jeannie.
No, go ahead.
Do you make homemade pasta when you're home?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
really?
You, from time to time I do, yeah. Not quite often as much as I do at school. But, you know, generally I rely on the staples, you know, having box pasta. But,
right.
You know, my own sauces and everything.
Right,
yeah,
of course.
As far as that goes, yeah. So.
Okay.
So.
So when you are cooking at home then, and you mentioned you have a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old?
Yep, 7-year-old, yep.
Okay.
Maggie and Emma.
Maggie and Emma. Aww. Are Maggie and Emma apt to help you out, and are they brought along? Or is that very difficult for you to do since you teach for
yes.
a living? You teach your students. Is it... there's this cutoff that home is separate and it's different, or how does that work?
No, I actually, my kids love to cook. And it's funny because we each got one. Emma's my baker. She'll open that book and find that recipe, and she'll make brownies and cookies, and she does great. And then Maggie's my kid. She's the one, let's cook with some salami and we'll cook with cheese and all that sort. So we got the little sweet and savory kids going on there, you know, so that's pretty funny. But yeah, we don't. I love cooking with them. I mean, that's how I started cooking and learning. My grandfather was a chef, so it was one of those things that's an early, you know, early memory of mine that I want to pass on to my kids.
Right. So, wow. Yeah. That's important. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I have a hard time with that.
Yeah. Yes, as do I. I have a hard time with the patience that's required.
There is sometimes where you're like, I just want to get this done. You
right.
Know,
so. For me, that's 95% of the time, though, and that's not good. But, you know, transitioning back to the other kids, and kids of all ages, I mean, you mentioned you have a student that's 70. When your students are preparing the meal that's going to be served to the public, you now are taking the concepts and the cooking and baking that was learned in the classroom to a more maybe high pressure situation and could be much more chaotic. And now we've got a deadline. We've got timing. Timing has to be right for everything.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about what goes on. I mean, do you see the stress kind of come out in the kids then?
Yeah. And it's funny you say that because, you know, that's why we opened to the public. You know, I know when I went to culinary school, we had a lot of students and they would kind of divide the class and half would go in the dining room and half would stay inside. But our students actually wait on real customers. And so when it gets busy, you know, we get busy right to the cusp where it's, you know, where it's getting there and you can see, you know,
where they're almost in the weeds.
That's it. You know, and then
that's our term.
Chef will come bail them out, you know, and then it's funny, but it's one of those things that we try to have a reality to it about how it's really like
right.
in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's,
you know,
important.
It is. And, so that's why we invite, you know, customers in, and the students gain real experience. If they're waiting on a table, they're taking two or three tables. Not just one, you know, and our class sizes are no larger than 12. And I look at them sometimes and I'm like, you realize that there's not going to be 12 chefs in a kitchen at one point in time ever again. So you're probably in a kitchen this size, you're going to probably have about two or three.
So like, do they rotate? They rotate with jobs.
Yeah. They rotate and, you know, have a grill station, have a saute station, fry station, just like in the restaurant industry.
And then a wait staff.
Yep.
And
wait staff. And then we have a whole separate wait staff kitchen, you know, a class.
There's a wait staff class?
Oh yeah. We have a dining room.
Oh, I should send some of mine over there.
Yeah, we have dining room one class, dining room two, we have bartending class. So we, you know, we cover the gamut. And it's, we just got new computer systems in for them. So we have iPads that they go to the tables with. But we also teach them, you know, first part of the year to handwrite slips. You know, that's the one thing about technology nowadays.
Right.
You know, once the power goes out, well, now what
yeah,
do you do?
Yeah, you use your
exactly.
data function. You
know? Exactly.
So we won't lose that as well, but yeah. So we they rate them, you know, real customers. They went in and you know, they we choose, you know, a chef of the day, and you know, all the way to the dishwasher, you know. So and it's, we try to create as real of a situation
exactly.
as possible, and that's important. So when they get to you, you know, and they start working into your restaurants and things like that, they realize what it's all about. And
sure.
then we you know, end up finding jobs for them while they're doing that. And you just see them progress, come in, you know, being green. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start working in restaurants and you can start seeing the skill level come
right.
up. And then they're competing with you, you know. So.
Which I guess is good. And
it is.
It's kind of your goal.
Yeah. So, but it's fun. I love it.
If you ever have any of the students that are, you know, want to open up a diner.
Yeah,
send them to me.
Absolutely.
I know. We've got a great, rich resource for
they
that.
They can come work a shift for 24 hours and then they'll be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. It gets busy. And like I said, I love watching the students as they catch it, you know, and they start finding it because then you'll start seeing who's really in and who's really out, you know? So, but it's good.
And another thing that I'm wondering about then in that whole course of things, so here are the students and they're preparing the meals and they're being served to the public. And maybe I'm sure they get feedback before then.
Yeah.
But if the feedback comes back on one particular dish that the student was responsible for and it's negative, how the first time they're getting that kind of feedback, how does that, I mean, have you seen, I'm sure there are different reactions. There must be some students that are very teachable and just take it in stride and okay, I'm going to adapt and do this. And how does that feedback happen?
I'm a firm believer that, you know, that in this industry, there's people that get it, you know, and you can see that when they're there and they pick it up quickly. And then there's students, you know, the students that it takes a lot longer for them. And you can teach anybody to cook over time, it's going to happen. It's going to take them a while to perfect their skills. And, you know, all you can do is show them the skills, you know. So, but if they cook a bad dish, I yell at them and I throw them down. I'm just kidding.
That's very hard to believe.
I try to burn them a little bit, but you know, that's, you know, no, it's, yeah. But it's, you know, you make, you know, suggestions and comments on the dish on how to do things better, you know, because you always focus on the technique like saute or your braising, and you watch them and you let them go, and then you'll see where they make mistakes and then correct them afterwards, saying you could have done this a little bit better, you know, and season it, take away, or you know everybody's have their own tricks. Every chef has their own tricks, you know. So, but it's and sometimes you learn something from them as well too. That's what I love about this industry. You're always learning.
It's true. It's
constantly.
True. What do you see trending right now with food?
Here up in this area, the whole farm to table is definitely. I mean, it's part of my experience when I was younger was you know, cooking, and I went to Johnston Wales University and graduated, and I was fortunate to work for a nice high end restaurant that was their. There, our chef consultant was Chef Frank from Finlay's Ballier in Boston, and we worked at and Chef Casey Riley was our chef. So that was the influence of the food. I mean, you walked in there and you had truffles at $1,500 a pound and Ocetra Cervuca Caviar. Oh yeah, you know, when I got to other jobs, I'm like, where's the truffles? I'm like, how can I work like this? You know, this is ridiculous.
I can't work in these conditions.
There's no foie gras. Come on. Oh, you know, so
that's my favorite.
It's beautiful.
Would you prepare foie gras?
What I'll do is I'll score it and then we'll pan sear it. But I like to create like a couple of different jams and jellies with it. And I'll do like a tangerine jam or a blackberry jam, blackberry Merlot jam, and serve it with some brioche toast.
So good.
A little caramelized onion jam with it too. Oh yeah, it's great. So I love it. It's great.
It is.
You know, so it's and we do a little bit of that in it's cooking school too. You know, not all the time.
Well, invite me that day.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Chef, thank you so much for coming
problem.
On.
Anytime.
This was what a great, again, learning experience.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait to get to Shaker Village.
Anytime. You both are our guests Shaker forever.
Table.
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, we'll definitely have you back
Come out and cook with us, too.
There you absolutely. Go. There you go. All right. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be back. And we're going to be talking with Donna in Delaware. So stay tuned.